Topic because it affects all of us. It speaks of all of us, especially all of us here. And all week I kept getting this word about age. Yeah, age, just age. So I did some studying and searching, and some very interesting things about the quality of life with age, kind of a combination of things. And so I have four or five scriptures here about age, but I put them in chronological order from the oldest to the newest, rather than where they are in our Bibles, because they're not put in chronological order, but these scriptures are. So I had to go back and find out when the best that can be dated to these. And it's very interesting. So I'm going to start off with the first one from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And this is dated 1440 to 1400 B.C., so it goes back a long time. And this is from the Living Bible. And we don't have those others on the computer, but they will be there at least so you could read them and see the scripture reference. And this is an interesting one because it's right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. But this one is different. It says, honor your father and mother that you may have a long, good life in the land the Lord your God will give you. This is the fifth commandment out of the ten as they're listed in that portion of scripture in Exodus. And I thought about that, and I thought that is different because the other nine all talk about the Lord and our attitude toward him and he toward us. But this one is different. It brings family into the picture. It brings fathers into the picture. And it brings mothers into the picture, our parents, which I still don't know why that was where the Lord put that in there. I have no idea. I'm waiting for an answer. Maybe one day he'll tell me, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem to fit. And I'm maybe missing something in there. But that stood out to me. Then we move up to Psalm 90, verse 10, from 1010 to 930 B.C., and this is from the Amplified Bible. I'm going to come back to the Exodus one in a few minutes. The days of our life are 70 years, or even if because of strength, 80 years. Yet their pride in additional years is only labor and worry. For it is soon gone, and we fly away. Which brought me to that old hymn, I'll fly away, old glory, I'll fly away. And I brought all the lyrics in case anybody would like to sing it. But the footnote with this one is interesting. Psalm 90, verse 10, the psalmist credited to Moses, who was interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age when they rebelled against God at Kadesh to die before reaching the promised land of Canaan. And that's Numbers 14, 26, 35. Moses himself lived to be 120 years old, Aaron 123, Miriam several years older, and Joshua 110 years of age. But it is conceivable that Moses considered such longevity the exception. The ancient rabbis taught that by the time of David, 70 was the age of death for an old man and 80 for a vigorous old man. So If you're getting near 80 and you're still vigorous, you know, you got a good thing going. Rejoice. Be thankful every day for the life the Lord has given you. And I did go back, and they, because they murmured, they complained, never happy with anything. They didn't like the thought of the new land that God had given them, and all their murmuring and fault finding and complaining, God said, good, none of you are going to live until you get into it. Boom, after 40 years, you're toast. And they died, with the exception of a few. Isaiah 46:4. This was 740 B.C. This is the easy-to-read version. I like those. And I will still be carrying you when you are old. Your hair will turn gray or white, and I will still carry you. I made you, and I will carry you to safety. So when I said, you know, this is written about a lot of us among us to have gray hair or white hair, I'm happy that I have any hair. You know, it got blown away when I went out and brought the broke flag in this morning. Some of yours got kind of blown around when you came through the front door too. But this is a wonderful promise that even, and this I notice is in some people's lives, a point in their lives where discouragement begins to set in. So that word about not being discouraged kind of sets in, because people will often confess, I can't do what I used to do. People tend to forget me when I'm older and I'm not in the picture as much anymore. And they start going inward. And they lose that ability to fellowship and still reach out to people. And they feel very isolated and very alone sometimes. And so this word is very comforting. And I will still be carrying you when you are old. When you can't carry yourself, there's one that's going to be carrying you. And it won't be to that funeral that Don was talking about. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about a friend, a companion in the Lord, that God still, it's like he befriends us, but he's our Father. And so even in our older age, when a lot of things start changing, if you haven't noticed. That's why I was thinking about how accurate Psalm 90 actually was. The days of our life are 70 years, because I found it as of 2023, the average life expectancy at birth in the U.S. is approximately 78.4 years. Now, we also know that we can't deny statistics, but we can deny that we have to bow to them and take a stand. I mean, yes?
Statistics are, if there's something that's in the middle, there's also something way high and something way low. So
yeah, that's
statistics that don't mean anything.
Well, that's what I meant. Those are subject to change for the believer, because faith changes a lot of things. And just because that may be the average, that doesn't mean it's the rule. I mean, I know a lot of people that are still very with it. And they age very well. Isaiah 40, although we just read that. Oh, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. And this is the most, AD 64. And the Apostle Paul wrote this. And he made reference in the chapter 6, had a lot to do with family and relationships within a household. And he wasn't one for living under the law, but he often referred to the law, having been a Pharisee. He was very well versed in those things. But he brings this up again, and I have this in the Amplified. Honor, esteem, value is precious, your father and your mother, and be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with a promise, and here is the difference. The others out of the 10 talked about the Lord, but this is talking about a promise to you and I. And that's why Paul brought it up, because in Christ, these promises are for us. He said, and this is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may have a long life on the earth. And that's That's the commandment with the promise. I don't look at it as a commandment anymore. It's a blessing. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And I didn't see any place where there was any blessings removed. I tried to find some, but it just seems like that I haven't found any blessings that God did away with. So the spirit of these things lives on through us. I know, Jana, I see your hand.
I know. I was just wondering if anybody knows, Pastor, maybe you do, there's a scripture also that talks about in old age where we will be fruitful, and it's talking about us still receiving from the Lord and being able to give.
Yes.
And I just love that one because, like you're saying, you know, in the flesh you want to just kind of sometimes grow old and be comfortable, and God has so much more for us.
No, there's so many scriptures, you know, and one of them has to do with our words, our mouths. We covered that, and I still have a few more. But how many among you would like to have a good life and see long days? And it tells us to watch the words that come out of our mouth. So there's that word teaching. It's still sitting back there. We're not done with it. And every once in a while, it rears its ugly head. Barb?
It's marinating.
You're marinating, yes.
I was just reading in one of my devotionals about how our words, if they're negative, they glorify the devil. But if they're quoting God's word or speaking God's word, they glorify God.
Yes.
So there's a pretty clear distinction there and really helpful to help you check yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, am I glorifying the enemy or am I glorifying God?
Yes. Yes, and at the end of that word teaching, I had this little thing called the devil's Christmas turkey. And because every time we speak contrary to the word, we're coming into agreement with the enemy of our soul. And we don't even realize that. But those things contribute to a long life. If we go around and we say, well, I had that list of 22 things that people say, so I'm not going to say what people say. Because you might be one of the ones that say what people say.
We are.
But I like the understanding that when we learn the word to the point where we're learning to speak the word over our life, we're speaking life to our life, if you will. And remember, there's our physical life, there's our spiritual life, and there's eternal life. And when we learn to speak right things in line with God's word, we're sowing to a longer, more fruitful life. Just because, and I heard, I think it was Kenneth Hagin once said, he said, just because you get old, that doesn't mean you have to be sick. And he never was. One day his heart stopped and he went home to be with the Lord. Boom. It's so easy to get caught up in somebody else's life status, if you will, that, well, you know, I'm 40, my knees are starting to get bad. Or they just start confessing all of these things. And really, you're borderline speaking curses on your own life when you do that. Jana, you're really with it today. What's going on back there?
Well, that's what happens when you pray.
What, bad things?
No. Oh. No, when you're asking the Lord, he just, you know, he just delivers because he loves.
Yes, yes.
I was going to say, when you're talking about negative things, physically, that happens, but when we say negative things, our body releases bad chemicals.
Yes.
And it contributes to what you're saying, you know. It all goes hand in hand.
Yes, envy is the rottenness of the bones. If you're envious and jealous, the high probability is other diseases stem out of that. Arthritis, bursitis, you know, those itis boys, you just want to keep them under your feet because they ain't nice guys. Burr and Arthur. Get them out of your life as quickly as possible. You know, it's things like that, and they do affect our life and our quality of life. So it's kind of coming full circle now. I'm getting a better understanding as we talk about it together in the room. You know, it's kind of like I bring an outline, but I always know there's more, and here you get to be the more. You know, all the things that you're thinking about that pertain to this. And it makes the picture complete, is that our quality of life really does have a lot to do with our confession of faith, the things that we believe, but also about honoring our mother and our father. Both of mine have been long expired, but it was so hard for me personally to honor my father in any way that I could, because he was so mean. He just had a real mean, bitter spirit. And all the time growing up as kids, I just never knew what was eating him up inside, and it was probably a lack of Jesus to start with. But and he died that way. He was a complainer, a murmurer. His confession was, back when you could draw Social Security at the age of 63, he says, I'll probably never live to get my first Social Security check, and guess what? Because he confessed that over and over and over, and he got what he spoke. But about honoring him, I couldn't do that until after I got saved. Because I wasn't saved, and I couldn't bring myself to do that because of the mean spirit that he had towards us as kids and things that happened in our early life. It was so hard. I just literally could not do that. And then after I got saved, it was within minutes that I forgave him, because I came to realize he was the vessel that God brought me into this world, and for no other reason. I'm here. And it changed. When I got saved, all of those things changed inside. All those attitudes that I'd held inside for so long. You get saved and you have a whole new spirit, and you have a purpose and a reason for life, and to appreciate every day and to be thankful, because they affect our walk. Going around saying what kind of bad stuff's going to happen today and waking up thinking like that. And then you get saved and you wonder, wow, what are all of the good things I'm going to see today? What will I see the Lord do today? And all of this ties together, but about honoring our moms and dads. And so when Faith and I first got saved, and before we had children, we began to start finding out what God had to say about children. And the desire came to have some. But we had started reading things that we could find. And this was one of the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 6, in that verse 10. And we put that into a prayer. We began thanking God that our children honored their mother and their father, and that God promised them a long life if they would do that. And before when they were just little kids, we began speaking the word over our children. Because we missed half of our life before we got saved, and we didn't want them robbed. So it's learning, learning to speak these words over your children, your grandchildren, and it doesn't matter what age you start. I almost did it with the new cat we got. It's like a little devil with four feet running around the house and tearing up stuff already. And he's only 3 days in the house. I had to watch my confession. I had to confess. Oh, it really changes your life. So I hope that we can glean out of this something that will benefit us today, because I long for those things from our Father, because he speaks to all of us. And when we come together in a setting like this, it's so beautiful because it's always something that we can relate to, and to encourage one another in our faith walk, that even though it's getting more difficult, it's getting more difficult for other brothers and sisters that are living in entirely different situations than we are here in America right now. This would be a hard word to bring, because they're looking at missing their neighbors and their kids because of their faith. And I don't like to talk about that very much, because we can't even begin to relate to what that's like. But some people live under a lot of persecution and oppression, even right here in our own country. And some I know, four in particular, came to the point where they were going to end their life. And I had the joy of being the one to there was intervention. Because two times I was prompted to call the person, and one of them had the barrel of his rifle in his mouth already and was ready to pull the trigger. Because if we don't appreciate and see the goodness of life that we have, a lot of it is going to slip by, and one day we'll look back and see all that we missed. But we don't have to. There's some things that we have as an advantage as believers. Honor our moms and dads, because that's in the commandments. It's not a commandment now, but Paul considered it good advice, because a lot of times there's animosity and bitterness and unforgiveness in families. And I would just say that if any of that's going on with you, and make it right. Be humble and forgive and let it go. Because when they're in the grave, they can't hurt you anymore. But it can help you today. John?
Well, when you brought that up, the thought came to me, our parents are the first level of authority that we have in our lives. And if we dishonor them, we will not honor God.
That's right.
We will not obey his authority if we can't obey theirs. And so what struck me is, like, you know, with that forgiveness that you were able to give, that just propelled you in your relationship with God. If you had held on to that bitterness, it would just have hindered that flow of God's life.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking for both Elton and I, when we got saved, you know, healing in those parental relationships was just... forgiveness was just such a big deal.
Yes.
You know, so for anybody here, I just want to encourage you, if this brings up memories, mm-hmm. it's like all God wants to do is clear the channel so his love can flow more freely as we forgive.
And yes. And I can talk very freely about him now, because there's no hurt anymore. It's all gone.
Right.
And it happened that very first night, my brand new faith hardly saved 10 minutes. Right. And that's one of the first things that I did, was I had a list, a checklist. I hate that one. I hate that one because of this. I hate that one because of that one. You know, they all had their things that I hung on to all those years. And so I know this from firsthand, to let it go. Don't drag it into your new faith. Or if you have, dump it. You know, put it in that septic tank Don was talking. Maybe that's why that's a good place for it. You know, maybe that's why you read that today. But it is connected in a way, because sometimes that's a good place for our thoughts, and maybe the way we've been to others and just not let stuff go, because it's not worth it. It just hurts us. So be of good cheer. You're going to live at least another year.
I just confessed when we left our family in Ringe yesterday. Yeah. My doctor said I'm going to live to 100, and I keep confessing that. So somebody's stuck with me for a long time.
fine. I received it, and I keep confessing it, and I say, I'm in perfect health.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, if I'm stuck with you, that means I'm going to be 100 too.
That's right.
Well, go hug somebody with gray hair.
Yeah.